ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧೆ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ 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 ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ್ 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 ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಗುರುದೇವ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪಾವನ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕಿ ನಂತರ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुवन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Third canto, 17th chapter, text number 18. Prajapatir nama tayo rakarshit yaprak svadehat namayo rajayata tam vaihiranyakashipum viduh praja यं तं हिरण्याक्षमसूतसाग्रतः। प्रजापतिर्नाम तयोरकार्षीत् यप्राक् स्वदेहात् यमयोरजायत तं वै हिरण्यकशिपुं विदुः प्रजा यं तं हिरण्याक्षमसूतसाग्रतः। प्रजापतिर्नाम तयोरकार्षीत् यः प्राक् स्वदेहात् यमयोरजायत तं वै हिरण्यकशिपुं विदुः प्रजा यं तं हिरण्याक्षमसूतसाग्रतः। राजा प्रजापति कश्यप नाम नेम्स तयो ऑफ द टू अकार्षीत गेव यह हु प्राक फर्स्ट स्वदेहात फ्रॉम हिज बॉडी यमा यमयो ऑफ द ट्विन्स अजायत वॉज डेलिवर्ड तम हिम वाई Indeed, Hiranyakashipum, Hiranyakashipu, Viduhu, no, Prajaha, people, Yam, whom, Tam, him, Hiranyaksham, Hiranyaksha, Asuta, gave birth to, Sa, she, Diti, Agrataha, first. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, as a Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Kashyapa Prajapati, the creator of the living entities, gave his twin sons their names. The one who was born first, he named Hiranyaksha. And the one who was first conceived by Diti, he named Hiranyakashipu. Purport. There is an authoritative Vedic literature called Pinda Siddhi, in which the scientific understanding of pregnancy is very nicely described. It is stated that when the male secretion enters the menstrual flux in the uterus, in two successive drops, the mother develops two embryos in her womb, and she brings forth twins in a reverse order to that in which they were first conceived. The child conceived first is born later, and the one conceived later is brought forth first. The first child conceived in the womb lives behind the second child. So when birth takes place, the second child appears first, and the first child appears second. In this case, it is understood that Hiranyaksha, the second child conceived, was delivered first. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, the child who was behind him, having been conceived first, was born second. So here Kashyapa Prajapati is having a name-giving ceremony now. For Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. In both their names, the word Hiranya is there. So Hiranya means gold wealth, and Kashipu means soft bed. So Hiranyaksha, his eyes were always fixed on gold and wealth. He was extremely greedy. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu also. Both these twin brothers. Sometimes when the twin children are born like this in a family, you find them having opposite qualities also. It's not necessary that they have to have similar qualities. Because there are two souls who enter into the two bodies. Although genetically they appear alike. Sometimes when two people genetically appear alike, we tend to think that they may have similar qualities also. Which is not true. They have oftentimes different qualities. You will find that. But in this particular case, they both have come for the same purpose. So they are Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu to create trouble in this world for the demigods. They have become like a Suradvisham for about three lifetimes. So in this way, when they appear in the womb of Titi, here Prabhupada is talking about the first drop, second drop of semen. So the first drop of semen, when it is offered in the womb of the woman, then that child is conceived first. And then later on another drop, then the second child is conceived. So, according to seniority, if you see, the first child is more senior. The first drop who got from that. But he goes deep into the womb. And the second child remains here. So who comes out first? Younger brother comes out first. And the elder brother comes later. Like the Prabhupada is explaining. That's the main thing he's explaining here. The whole purport is on that. If you want, I can find out Pinda Siddhi book and study what Prabhupada is saying and what to say more about this. But the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is, because Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam Paramahamsa Samhita, there is always valuable lessons from Srimad Bhagavatam connected to every verse which can be drawn. You will see that when the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha Dosha, Anudarshanam, he says one should philosophically have a look on these four aspects of life: Janma, Mrityu, Jara, and Vyadi. Like, for example, the death is something that strips a person of everything instantly. In this world, generally people accumulate things more and more to become happier and happier. Suddenly, if there is a business loss, some people go mad also. Imagine somebody lost a few hundred crores, they go mad also. But what to speak of losing one's body itself, which is a source of all material pleasure. So that is death. Actually, death is very difficult to even comprehend also, how difficult time death is. But in the old age, we will see the body becomes very invalid and we feel a defeat. So the word, Sanskrit word, the word parabhava is used. Parabhavastavadabodajato yavanna jignyasata atmatattvam. He says, in this world when we are young and growing, say between 1 to 30 or 40 years of age, so body is in a growing stage. And then later on, the body is in a declining stage, dwindling stage. So in the growing stage, we are very hale and healthy. And one cannot think about the temporary nature of the material world. But in the dwindling stage, one sees that the body is sort of withdrawing. Body is not able to enjoy the pleasures as it could before. So that is why he is saying about the old age. Ravindraswar Prabhu says, although there are many Shastric instructions, although there are many Vaishnavas who teach us many things, our aging body is also a good teacher, he says. Aging body teaches also many lessons as one gets older. One cannot do things as swiftly as one was doing before. And also one cannot enjoy the comforts of a healthy body as one used to be healthy at 20, 30 and all. So in this way, Krishna says one should think about all these four, birth, old age, disease and death. Actually, disease comes on and off, but when disease comes, we all are miserable. The very word disease means dis-ease. It takes away your easy life. It makes you uncomfortable. And you want to, as soon as possible, get rid of it. Go to your doctor, put some tablet, take some injection, and as quickly as possible, get rid of it. So many, if you ask many doctors, they will tell you, many of the Ayurvedic doctors say, in patients also, there are three types of patients. There's tamaguna patient, rajoguna patient, sattoguna patient also. Even one of the doctors was explaining me. So tamaguna patient means he will come, take tablet and eat. When the problem is, disease is temporarily cured, he will stop eating. He will keep it in the cupboard and he will forget it. And when he suffers again, he will go crying to doctor. And the doctor will ask you, what happened to the course? No, that's lying at home. Go and finish it first. You'll become all right. So, and rajoguna patient means, he says, my dear doctor, my life is so stressful. I have such a high BP. So now at last I have decided that I need a weight loss. I have big obesity now. So, and he tells the doctor, please help me to lose my weight very quickly and help me to relax very fastly. So he wants to relax, but that also he wants very fast. Because he has to catch the flight, fly here, fly there and do things. So some patients want relief very quickly. Although the medicines have to take some time, they are not patient. So he was telling Sattoguna patient is the ideal patient who takes the medicine and is very patient. A patient requires patience, isn't it? And then he gradually gets cured. So once the doctor was telling, And that is why when we get disease, we can see our modes will come out. Which mode we are in, we will see how impatient we are. But whether we are impatient or patient, you know, we can see that we are not in control of our disease. Like His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, once he wrote in one of his articles, one day he was traveling and he felt some little pain on the back. And then he touched that portion of the back and he checked what is it. And then it appeared like something is popping out, you know, something is coming up. Then he went to the room and looked into the mirror. It was something coming out, you know, like a fissure kind of thing. Fissure, you say, no? That kind of thing was popping out. Then he thought, better check with the doctor. So when he went to check with the doctor said, oh, this could be a very serious thing. For me, when I look at it, it appears like a melanoma, like that you said. So there is a benign and melanoma, two types of tissue overgrowth, you know. So the doctor said, it appears to be a serious one. You should immediately get it tested. It's a very risky one. So three, four people whom he encountered who were all testing it, they all had big dilated eyes. They said it seems to be a very dangerous thing. Melanoma is the one which Bhakti Tirtha Swami got, you know. And benign is another one, opposite. It's a friendly tissue growth. It doesn't cause any harm. But the most amazing thing is both of them look alike. For example, you are walking on a lane, so you find there is a toy of a big bulldog kept. Just like in Mayapur, we find some lions outside the matas, you know. They're not real lions, but sometimes they put like, very powerful. You've seen that? They are only toys. So benign is like a toy lion. And melanoma is like a real lion. But they both look alike. Now, doctor says, I'll find out whether it's real or a toy. I'll find out. That's what he said. So Maharaj said, as soon as, because three, four of them said, he said, when I went to room, he said, I could not sleep at all because there is so much mission to be done ahead. I have so many thousands of disciples and they are all in growing stage. So I am worried that I have to make them very stable. Am I prepared to leave the world at this moment? I guess I am not ready. But what if it is melanoma? So Maharaj said, I became extremely sober. So he went to a room and chanted. And then he says, when I was returning to the room, there were many devotees waiting with garlands and, you know, special mahaprasad and everything. You know, I could not smile at them. And I looked at them, and then I went, and they were all shocked. Why? So he said, I went to room, and I was thinking of Prabhupada, thinking of Bhakti Sanatana Thakur, thinking of Bhakti Tirtha Swami and others. You know, why, Krishna, why do you want to take me so early? And I'm still healthy. I want to do so much. And all these thoughts were flowing in his mind. And then it was a weekend, it was Saturday. And Sunday the laboratories would be closed. So the assistant said that Saturday we will try to get the result. If we cannot, then it will be on Monday, he said. So he said, no, you have to at any cost try to get it before Saturday. Because Sunday I have so many programs lined up and I want to do them with a cool head and everything, he said. So at last, Saturday night, that fellow gave a call. And then Maharaj said, did you test it? What is the news? And that fellow was keeping silent for a few seconds. And he said, my heart was palpitating so fast, dup, 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 very, very fast. At last, then that fellow said, Maharaj, you have checked it. Fortunately, it's benign. You have nothing to worry. Then my breathing became normal after that, he was telling. So Maharaj writes many of his realizations like this in his articles. So in one such article I read, so after the news he received, then he also writes in his article that when I came to know, he said, in this world we all are living our lives, but we are not prepared for death. Nor are we prepared for a very dangerous type of disease. We are not prepared for it also. Because we generally, especially in India, people desire that, you know, I want to die a cool death. Like they say, you know, he was just relaxing in the easy chair. Although he was 80 years old, he was hale and healthy. Relaxing in the easy chair, he asked for a cup of milk I gave. He drank the milk. And then he lied down as if he was sleeping. Suddenly we found he was dead. Shanti se mar gaye. People say like that. And everybody thinks, wow, wow, what a good fortune. But actually what is happening inside his body, only God knows. Actually, how much a jiva is struggling inside. Externally, he may appear to be all right. But how he left the body, with what attachments he left the body, that will decide his next birth also. So, in this way, the disease, the death, the old age, they all bring forth trouble. But because here the talk is about the womb, we can talk about the child in the womb, which we study also in the third canto. In another chapter we study. So, for me, that section of child praying in the womb was a big turning point in my Krishna consciousness. So, I seriously decided to commit my life to Krishna consciousness. Of course, I have been thinking before also, but when I read that section, it was like a very great turning point. Because the prayers of the child are so meaningful for every living entity. So, when the child is in the womb, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the child suffers varieties of miseries inside the womb of the mother. For example, the mother eats pungent foodstuffs, sometimes pickles and things like that. So that also hurts the child. And not only that, he passes stool and urine and keeps floating within the amniotic fluid inside the... He has to stay with all those stool and urine, whatever comes out. Along with that, he has to stay. Like if you are in a room, if there is something unclean, you feel so uneasy. You immediately want to get rid of it. Whereas the child has to stay in such a compact place, tolerating all that. Not only that, in the Bhagavatam, the word sodara is used. Sodara means the worms are called sodara. Sa udara, that's called sodara. Sahodara, we say, no? Sahodara means brother. So the worm is called sahodara of jantu. Who is the jantu? We only. The living entity in the womb of the mother is called jantu. Jantur vai baba etasmin yam yam yonim anum brajet tasyam tasyam yahlabate nirvrittim na virajyate. So in this verse, the word jantu represents a living entity only. So until we follow the shastra, we are called jantu only. The moment you follow shastra, then we are called manushya after that. Because we become followers of Manu, then we are called manushya. So the jantu, the child in the womb, is lying in the womb of the mother along with worms. The worms are biting the body of the child. And child is feeling very uneasy. He cannot come out also. Can you imagine you are inside a room, you are locked up with a snake or a worm or something, which is biting, you go round and round in the room, you cannot come out. Both of you are inside and you don't know how to come out of it. This is the kind of suffering he endures. And then when he becomes conscious in the seventh month, there is a particular type of vayu which topples him upside down, which rotates him inside the mother's womb. See, till he becomes conscious, some of us may think, anyway, he might not have suffered. Or he might have suffered, he's not aware, correct now, when he is not conscious. But then when he becomes conscious, and the 3-4 months are there ahead, when he becomes fully conscious and is watching his situation, who am I, what am I, and everything. At that time, he offers these prayers very wonderfully. He says, my dear Lord, your lotus feet creates fearlessness. It makes us free from fear. Why? Because you are so kind that you descend in this world in various incarnations. And then when you appear in this world, all the suras, the devatas, they all become very jolly. Just like when Krishna came, it is said the brahmanas were completely silent before Krishna's appearance because of fear of Kamsa. They knew that Kamsa is a suradvisha, envious of the demigods. So they were afraid if we chant loudly, our heads will fly off. He will cut off our heads. So they were keeping mum. But the moment Krishna appeared, everyone could hear loud sounds. Sahastasher sapurushah. All the brahmanas started chanting very loudly, very happily. So when Lord descends in this world, the pious living entities become jolly by having the Lord on their side. So Lord will destroy the irreligion and the asuras. Lord will establish religious principles and everything. So that's why he's saying, by remembering your lotus feet, he says one becomes completely free from all fear. And then he also says that, my dear Lord, you are so... See, he's comparing Lord and himself. He's telling, you also appear along with me. I am seeing that you have appeared, and it is a great surprise to me. How is it that you are also inside this womb as a super soul? But the difference is, although you are present, you are completely pure, uncontaminated, nirmal. Whereas I have become captivated by metal attachments and bondage and everything. You are completely pure. Not only that, he said, you are always intelligent. Like there is a word, agadha bodham, used in Bhagavatam. You have a oceanic intelligence, and you never become forgetful of your position. You remember the past, present, future, everything. You are alert always. Whereas I have seen that I am subject to forgetfulness. I tend to forget. For example, when we are suffering, we run to God. When there is little less suffering, we forget God, isn't it? You have heard the saying in English, you know, we get and forget. Whereas God gives and forgives. So we get and forget, which means we are not grateful for the gifts we have received in our lives. Nor are we remembering our, you know, misdeeds done in the past so that we can rectify them right now. We are often forgetful. So this forgetfulness is the greatest curse in the material world. Avismriti. That is why great Vaishnavas, you know, they don't ask for anything from the Lord other than this one thing. Mukunda murdhna pranipatya yache bhavantame kantami yantamartham avismriti stvacharanaravinde bhave bhave me stubhavat prasadat. This is by Kulashekara. He says, O Lord Mukunda, I bow down my head at your lotus feet and I beg you, for what? Give me avismriti, give me remembrance of you. Tvacharanaravinde. When do you want that? Life after life, he's saying, bhave bhave, mestu bhavat prasada. Like that he's praying. So, there is another verse. Why we become fearful in this world? It says, bhayam dvitiyat abhinivesatasyat ishat apetasya viparyayo asmritihi. When the jiva turns his face away from ish, or the Supreme Lord, two things happen to him, viparyaya and asmriti, he says. So in this way, the jiva becomes forgetful of the Supreme Lord, and he gets distracted in his goal. He becomes forgetful, and distracted means he gets attracted to maya. That's the meaning of distraction. So viparyaya asmriti comes by, and also these two things lead to bhaya, bhayam, dvitiya. Dvitiya means he is soul, but he thinks I am this body. Because of that, bhayam dvitiyad abhinivesatasyad ishad apetasyad, turning one's face away. Viparyayo asmriti. So now the jiva is saying that such fear which I have attained, I can easily dispel by remembering your lotus feet. Abhaya charana aravindare. Correct? No? He is saying like that. But then he is saying, my dear Lord, your buddhi is so alert and so sharp. Your remembrance is not only remembrance of your position, remembrance of all the jivas and all the activities done by the jivas in all lifetimes. So we cannot fathom the vast ocean of intelligence that Krishna has. And then he is saying, not only your intelligence is so great, you are also extremely strong. He says that the Purushavataras and the Prakriti, you know, they are very, very powerful, but you are more powerful than them also because you are source of them, he says. Source of all the, like Mahavishnu is called omnipotent, and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is called omnipresent, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is omniscient. So God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, but you are the source of all these three personalities also. And Prakriti, who is the controller of three gunas, you are superior to both. So because of this, no one can estimate your virya. Your virya, see, the virya means what? Virya is potency of the Lord which is never diminishing, which is ever present in him. And then the jiva says, what about me? You know, as soon as I come in contact with my matter, I become weakened, he says. The pure jiva is also very powerful, but in contact with matter, he becomes weak. One time, Srila Prabhupada went with his disciples to one place, very close to that place, there was a zoo. On the way, they saw, inside the zoo, there was a lion in a cage. So one devotee was teasing the lion. He was doing something and showing some signs. And the lion thought he was going to give some meat piece or something to eat. He would come near and then the devotee would laugh at him. And Prabhupada said, don't tease him. And Prabhupada said, he is like a king, but unfortunately now he is trapped in a cage, he said. Similarly, the jiva is like a very powerful personality, but when he is trapped in the body, he is forced to become weak. And we can see this body is aging as we get older, and we can see it falling apart. But the jiva cannot take any action because he is not a free bird. He is trapped in this bodily material encagement, you see. So the jiva says that, my dear Lord, when you know I am seeing that my power is diminishing as I get older, whereas your power, your virya is unlimited. So your shakti is unlimited, your buddhi is unlimited, your abhay charanaravinda, taking shelter of your lotus feet creates fearlessness in all the jivas. So why have you put us in this type of situation? There is a reason. You want us to remember Vaikuntha, which is a place of everlasting happiness. So, but how can we, conditioned souls, remember Vaikuntha without being reminded by your merciful devotees? He's asking. So which means this jiva is actually a Vaishnava jiva. He's remembering that that it is only by mercy of devotees one can awaken the knowledge about spiritual world and the ocean of happiness in the spiritual world. So he's in this way, he's saying, which means he's actually seeking the mercy of devotees. He's saying that, my Lord, I'm very forgetful, but put me in the company of devotees where I will never forget you, forget Vaikuntha, I will always remember. But although Vaikuntha is our place, he says, we have come to this material world, which is the place of suffering. And we cannot remember Vaikuntha without awakening knowledge about you and surrender to you. And that surrender and knowledge is actually given to us by you only, through the agency of devotees, merciful devotees. So like that he's saying, in the meantime he's thinking, oh, I am put in this restricted pocket. It is so painful, miserable. He's asking, how long will I have to stay here? I have been already staying. Now how much more time I have to stay? When are you going to release me from this place? Of course, the Lord is just hearing all the prayer of the jiva. He doesn't respond. But the jiva is asking like this. And then the jiva is again thinking, inside the womb also there is suffering. What days of suffering I'm undergoing. But what is the situation of the world outside? The world outside is Mahamaya. And he says, so as soon as the jiva comes into the world of Mahamaya, he is bewildered. And that bewilderment perpetuates his samsara continuously. Once we are covered by bewilderment, then our speech, our actions, everything is conducted by three gunas only. Prakriti kremanani, correct, no? So then the child became very afraid. He said, oh Lord, already I am suffering here. Why should I perpetuate my suffering by going outside? I don't want to go out. Let me stay inside only. And better let me tolerate this suffering. Sometimes there is a choice between two sufferings, you know. You see, once upon a time, a man did some big blunder for which the police captured him and they were about to punish him. So the police brought a big danda to beat him up. But he wasn't willing to accept. He said, sir, what is this? This is too severe. Is there any alternative pain you can give me? This is very dangerous. If your lathi looks so big, if you beat me, I will die, he said. Then they told him, okay, if you don't want beating with this, you have to pay 50,000 rupees, they told him. Oh, he said, this is too much. I am not a rich man, I cannot pay for this. Then they said, if you cannot do that also, then you have to drink 5 kilos of ghee, they said. He said, what is this? Will I have to pay for it? They said, you don't have to pay. You have to just finish drinking. Only thing is, you cannot drink in installments. In one shot, you have to drink it. You cannot carry home and all. You drink it here only. He said, I think this is a wonderful thing. You know, you are giving me free ghee. I'm a very poor man. If I drink a lot of ghee now, for my whole life, I'll be very healthy. He thought like that. Then he said, bring it. So they brought the ghee. So he started drinking. So after half a kilo, he started feeling some kind of vomiting sensation. Then he realized drinking 1 kilo ghee also is difficult. But 5 kilo is impossible. So he told the police, sir, it's becoming too much. Can I carry home? They said, we already told you before. Right now you finish it. He said, no, sir, it's too much. Then they said, then pay 50,000 rupees. They said. So he said, oh, that is too much. That I'll never be able to pay. He said, then take the danda now. So finally he said, oh, tika, no problem. Give me danda only. I will tolerate it because I cannot pay. So then they started beating with danda. See, this story has a very great lesson. This is the way sense gratification is in this material world. From a distance, sense gratification appears very attractive. But when you go near, it is danda only. Danda. Finally, it gives suffering. But it appears like drinking ghee, like sense gratification. But as we go close, and also sense gratification is a very costly affair, which we don't want to pay. So we get danda for that. So in this way, you will find Jiva was telling, inside the womb, there is suffering. But outside the womb, there is greater suffering. So which is better? Better remain inside. But then the Jiva said, I have one big plus point when I am inside the womb. Big advantage. I am right now in good consciousness. And I can see you, my Lord, as the super soul in my heart. Who is the supplier of intelligence? Dadami buddhi yogamtam. And you are situated right next to me. I will pray to you. I will surrender to you. I will repent for my past sinful actions. I will seek your help. And accept intelligence from you. And with that intelligence, I will destroy samsara. He says. The intelligence supplied by you is sufficient for me to destroy the... Destroying samsara means repeated cycle of birth and death. And then I will die within the womb itself. I don't have to be born. Because once my knowledge awakens through your help, and I can finish off my sufferings, I can put a full stop to my suffering by becoming obedient to you. On the contrary, if I go out into the world of Mahamaya wearing the spectacles of, you know, black, red and yellow, you know, tamaguna, rajaguna and sattaguna, then I may become addicted to so many other habits. I may become forgetful of you. Better let me remain inside the womb only. And I like that the child was speaking, very meaningful. And the child said, my dear Lord, I am seeing, on the other hand, there are jivas who have been jnanis in the past life and speculators. Now, when they become babies in the womb, do you know what they do? They analytically and see through their intelligence the sukha dukkha they are suffering in the womb. They only understand that I am sitting in the womb of the mother and sukha dukkha are affecting me now. Like that they say. Through their intelligence, they try to perceive the sukha dukkha. Whereas the jiva, who is the devotee of Krishna, he doesn't see through the intelligence, he sees the source of intelligence, which is super soul. And that is how he is able to surrender. Because if we are seeing through our own intelligence to understand the world around us, we will become speculators. But when we understand Lord is the Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam, Arteshyam Evanakam Partham Ahamajnana Jamtamah, Lord says, you know, Nashayami Atma Bhavastu, he is the one who can destroy all the darkness in my heart. When we understand the source of intelligence, we fall in love with the Lord. Oh, he is my helper. He is my well-wisher. He is my heart-to-heart friend. He will cleanse me. He will elevate me. He will place me in his lotus feet. He will take me back to Godhead. So that leads to love and surrender. So this jiva who is praying like this is actually a devotee jiva. So there are also different type of jivas. Some are devotee jivas. Some are jnani jivas. Some are yogi jivas. Like the Chakravarti Thakur explains in one place. So the yogi jivas, what are they doing? They are doing some gymnastic, yogasanas inside. Trying to escape the suffering. And the jnani jivas, they don't do any yogasana. They are sitting and contemplating through their intelligence. What is sukha? What is dukkha? What is avidya? What is vidya? What is man? What is apman? And they are watching, speculating like this. And the devotee jiva is folding the palms and taking shelter of the Lord.
He says, my dear Lord, you are the source of intelligence. Please enlighten me. Please relieve me from Maya. So, whatever we have prayed in the womb of the mother, or we have become forgetful again. You see, Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb. He was fully cognizant of the Supreme Lord. When he came out, he was searching for the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? You know. And then eventually, you see how he wonderful devotee he became, following in the footsteps of his grandfathers, like Yudhishthira, Arjuna, and all of them. Isn't it? He became a first-class devotee. So which means, in the womb he was remembering, and outside he was remembering. Prahlad also. When he was in the womb, he was remembering. When he came out, he was remembering also. He continued to remember. But you find, it's very rare in this world for somebody to have continued remembrance. Like Sugriva had remembrance of Lord Ram and wished to help him when Lord Ram coronated him as a king. But then after he became absorbed in Bhogavilas, he became forgetful completely. And then he had to be woken up by Lakshman, who came and chastised him. Then he woke up. And you find in this world, in this way, sometimes somebody in childhood was a devotee, like Yamunacharya had sent, Yamuna. In his childhood, he was a devotee. Nathamuni sent Ram Mishra to recover him, you know. When he was a small boy, he used to recite Bhagavad Gita. But then when he grew up, he became covered over. Covered over means covered over by Maya. So when Ram Mishra went to call him, outside the palace, there were so many chariots of various kings from various places who had come to meet him. So he was a busy fellow. So much so that nobody could enter inside and preach to him. Just like in some houses, millionaire's houses, you go for giving Janmashtami invitation. They have a huge wall and a huge gate with a board, beware of dogs. Isn't it? You can't go inside. So they make sure no sadhus can come in. If sadhus come in, they will enlighten us and we will go back to Godhead. Let us not allow them inside. You know, very careful. Very carefully they keep themselves in Maya shelter. That is why in that Nallakur Manigrip section it is said, poor people are more fortunate than rich people. Daridriyam parama anjanam. He says, poverty is a great benediction, he says. Because a poor man's, in villages sometimes poor man keeps his door open in the night also. Because even if a thief comes, he won't find anything valuable to take. So they keep the door open. And that way sadhus can also enter his house and preach to them. Like that he says. So, in this way, it's rare for the jiva to have continued remembrance. Like you all know the pastime of Abhimanyu, when he was in the womb of his mother, you know, Krishna was speaking. Correct, no? He was telling about how to enter the chakra vyuha, how to come out of the chakra vyuha, isn't it? But then, you know, mother slept off, isn't it? She was not so much tuned to strategies in the war. Not so much concerned about them. So, in this way, Abhimanyu did not hear about, you know, how to come out of the chakra vyuha. He got only half information. Is it not true? Which means in our life also, we should know the dangers of Maya and we should also sufficiently hear about shelter of Krishna. Both are important. You know this verse, Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. If you know only the first part, we will get psychosomatic depression. Isn't it? It's such a frightening verse. And second part is very hope-giving part. Mamiviye prapadyante maya me tam tarantite. So Krishna says that by surrendering to me, you will return back to me. That's the solution part. So we have to know the problem part and we have to know the solution part. So the jnani living entities and the yogi living entities, they are able to see the problem, that I am in a problem, through their cognition, perception. They are able to see that there is sukha, dukkha, mana, paman, shita, ushna. How I can rise above. Jnani tries to rise above it through speculation. A yogi tries to rise above by control of senses, control of mind, yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, pratyahara, dharana, jnana, samadhi, all those things. So they try to rise above it. Whereas the bhakta jiva is one who surrenders. By surrendering to Lord, he can surpass the waves of samsara. So in this way, when one is in the womb, every child who has to be in the womb undergoes all these dangers and difficulties, birth after birth. Like somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, Swamiji, why should I worry about life in the womb? Or why should I worry about my next life? Even if I am a dog in the next life or a pig in the next life, I will not know. I am the same person, you know. Okay, let me be a dog, no problem. And Prabhupada said, really? Then I bless you to become a good dog. Like the Prabhupada said. So, there are people who ask foolishly, I will anyway not know. What is the problem? You see, if you tell a person, see, if you are a drunkard, you know, you will lose control of yourself. And you know, you will become shameless and, you know, you will suffer also. But sometimes the drunkards say, anyway, once I am drunk, I am unconscious. So why should I bother about it? Like I saw one of the boys lying inside a gutter, practically one leg outside, one leg inside. Most of the part of the body was in the gutter. Water was flowing past his body. And he was screaming. So later on, when I was preaching to him, when he was in a normal condition, so this fellow was telling that, you know, why should I worry too much about these things? Because once I drink, I am gone. You know. But actually, he cannot know he's suffering. Who can know he's suffering? Somebody in goodness or somebody who is not drunk, they can see that the drunken fellow is suffering. Because we have to be in Rajoguna to see Tamaguna. We have to be in Sattvaguna to see Rajaguna. And we have to be in Shuddha Sattva to see how we are bound even by Sattvaguna. Sukham Badnati, Krishna says, you know. Yeah. So the Jnana Sangha, Jnanam and Sukham, even these are also binding. Sometimes a Brahmana boy doing Sandhya Vandan 3 times a day may think life is wonderful. I am a pious fellow. I am going to temple and I am wearing chandan, kumkum, everything, and I look like a ripe fruit of piety. Huh? You know, I am very wonderful. I am wearing a sacred thread. I respect my father. In Tamil, they call it Jnanapadam, they call it. Jnanapadam means somebody who is a pious, coming from a pious family. You know, he wears chandan, kumkum, he goes to temple. Even though he is tall and grown up, still he is like a baby only. Simple. Obedient to parents. And whatever they say, he does it. Goes to temple. If he meets elders, he will do abhivadan, you know, like tell his guy, gotram, and he will offer namaskar and everything. So a boy thinks, I am wonderful, you know, because I am doing all these things. But little does he know that he is trapped by sukham and jnanam. He is trapped by his piety. So they become pious materialists. So the jiva who is beyond the three gunas only can see the bondage that accrues from the three gunas. So this devotee, living entity, in the womb of the mother with folded palms, he prays to the Lord, seeking his mercy. In this way, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is, on one hand, it explains the sufferings in the womb. But on the other hand, it explains the enlightened jiva who is speaking this kind of wonderful statements, which gives us a desire not to be born again in another womb, trapped in some you know, some mother's womb and take birth again and again repeatedly. So the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam is it arouses desire to take shelter of Krishna, who is called the fountainhead of all liberties. Prabhupada uses the word fountainhead of all liberties, he says. Because going to heaven is little liberty, but then after Punya is over, you have to come down. Going to Brahma Jyoti is a greater liberty. But again, one has to come back also. But going to Vaikuntha is called fountainhead of all liberties. Because once you go, then yadgatva ananivartante. Like that he says. So here, you find Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They are in the womb of their mother. And even while being in the womb, they were so angry and so envious and so much anti-Vishnu that they were creating smoke all around in the atmosphere. You see, you know this pastime of Gandhari beating on her womb, beating on her belly, because before her, you know, Kunti and Madhuri, they got 5 children. So when she came to know, she told Vyas, you told me that I will get children, but I have not yet got any child. What is this children doing in my womb? So she became very angry. She bit the womb and out came a big lump of flesh. But then Vyasdev said that because I have promised you that you will get children, don't worry, you will get children. Then he cut them into 100 pieces and put them in 100 pots with ghee. some kind of culturing he did, then all the babies started coming out. Who were there? Kauravas. They were all born. But because with an envious heart, she was beating the womb, all the children became very envious. You can see the mother's state of consciousness, you know, affects the child very much. You can see that. In the same way, Diti also, she wanted the children at a time when she was feeling a great competitive mood with her co-wives. So she was telling that, I have to have a child in the twilight hour. Although Kashyapa told her, this is not appropriate moment, it's inauspicious time. But she insisted because she was extremely envious and competitive. So then accordingly such kind of children are invited into the womb. Then they are born, they come out very envious. Similarly, you find in Bhagavatam, when Brahma told Rudra to beget children, Rudra begot dangerous children who were furious in nature and they were very poised to do destructive activities. All of them had huge forms and they occupied all different parts of the universe and started creating big, big damage everywhere. So when Brahma woke up, Brahma saw what Rudra's production is doing. He got frightened. He said, my dear son Rudra, come here. This is not time for annihilation. This is the time of creation. Bahut kuch kaam bacha abhi. Vishnu will come and maintain all the jivas, and jivas have to become purified. Before purification only you want to kill everybody. The goal of material world is to become purified and go back to God. Now only you started destruction in the beginning. I want help from you, but not this type of help. But now he said, better you go to the jungle, sit down and do penance, he said. You see, Rudra produced creatures who are similar to his nature, very furious in nature, angry in nature and everything. Similarly, sometimes in our preaching, we also get people who exhibit some of our qualities also. So sometimes neophyte preachers produce many neophyte devotees. Very advanced preachers produce very advanced devotees also. Like sometimes you see in a mango tree, you get ripe mangoes. In a bubble tree, you get only thorns. Similarly, sometimes a preacher preaches and brings some people, and then they create so much trouble for him. He will say, hey, don't create trouble. They create trouble because they have accepted some other mentality of the preacher also. Now, this is not a totally true statement. Why? Because Prabhupada produced so many devotees, many of them even left also, and some of them might have become anti also. And those are like the fruits in the tree which fell off from the tree, which are disconnected from the tree. Like a mango sometimes falls off from a tree, it is one side green, one side orange. It's not tasty for eating, it's improper. Only the fruits which remain connected become ripe, is it not? And also sometimes we may have followers who are disconnected with us. They may exist as followers, but they may not align with our ideologies that we teach. So they may claim to be our follower in order to take help from our reputation, like what Ekalavya did. He wanted to draw from the reputation of Dronacharya, but he was independent-minded. So we may bring somebody, but they may become cut off from us, independent from us, but they may draw from our reputation for increasing their own name and fame. But they will do what they want to do. So such people also, their behavior cannot be attributed to their associating with us. We cannot say that. But if a mentor and his mentee, they have a strong bond, you will find that the mentee absorbs many of the qualities of the mentor also. You will find. Because he loves the mentor, many of the mentors, sometimes even the mannerisms come also, sometimes. So in that way you will see to the degree your disciple has affection, attraction, attachment to the superiors, to that degree he will faithfully obey the instructions and carefully emulate the role model of the superior and struggle hard to bring about a positive change in his nature and behavior in order to please the superior. Like Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava, Swabhavam Shauryam, Vijayam. Swabhavam, Vijayam, Shauryam. In that particular verse, he says, to conquer our lower nature and adopt the higher nature of life is actually real conquest, like that he's telling. That real conquest is possible when there is a strong bond between a superior and a subordinate, and the subordinate and the superior is a real role model. It's an ideal role model, and subordinate exactly emulates that role model. And then he will align with him, and then he will see a big heart transformation coming about. So in the case of Rudra, when he was born only, he was crying. Correct, no? Rudra was crying, he was bluish and red. Because he was supposed to become Tamaguna Adipati. Correct, no? So, and then, you know, he was given 12 places with Rudranis and the places, and then when he created, so those creatures were very dangerous. So there are some Rudra's Amshas. For example, Durvasamuni is one of the Amshas of Rudra. You know what he did with Ambarish Maharaj? He got into trouble, isn't it? Later on, he learned a good lesson like that. But there is also another Shiva Amsha, which is Hanuman. Now, Hanuman, being a Shiva Amsha, Hanuman also regrets when he burned Lanka. You will read in Ramayana. Why he regretted? He said after burning Lanka, suddenly he got a doubt. I have burned the whole Lanka, but what happened to Sita? Then he immediately flew to Ashoka Vatika and saw that Sita was safe. Then he became peaceful. Then he said, what a fool I am. I put fire to whole Lanka due to my anger. But in case Sita got burnt in this, with what face can I go and see Lord Ram? Like that he thought. And then he cursed about anger. He said, this anger in this world is such a foolish thing that it makes us lose our good intelligence. Like that he says. But there is a big difference. Because Hanuman became a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, he used his anger for a transcendental service. Actually, although Hanuman is finding fault with himself, Acharyas and Lord Ramachandra did not find fault. In fact, later on, Lord Ramachandra embraced Hanuman and said, thank you for this bonus service. Lord Ram appreciated. I am supposed to destroy the Asuras and you have done half of my job. Very good. He told them. So, in this way, if you make a comparison of Durvasamuni and Hanuman, you can see that Durvasamuni, because he was Ashtanga Yogi, having more faith in his own control over things, he was offensive and critical of Ambarish Maharaja, considering him a Grihastha. On the other hand, Hanuman, although a Naishthika Brahmachari, he became a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And because of chanting Ram Nam continuously, his mind and senses became completely purified and controlled. And he always acted appropriately. Which means, in this way, we can see that the nature of Diti is coming into Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu also. Nature of Rudra is coming into his followers also. Nature of Gandhari is coming into her children. In this way, these two children are born, creating a havoc in the whole universe, even while they are in the womb of the mother. You can imagine. Now when they come out, you can imagine, now they're just now coming out. Now you'll come to know more what all they do in the subsequent cantos. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you.